There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Careful making wishes in a dark, dark, can't be sure when it hit that rock and the sides in the
mean time. I'm just dreaming of tearing you up. That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up in one.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh. The Los Angeles Angels and 66ers baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia. On this episode, I am joined with
Chris, the curator Johnson.
He makes his triumphant return back to the podcast after a little hiatus, but now that we're kind of getting more and more closer to season. You can start seeing more of us through our Apple podcast, the All Angels podcast, and our YouTube page, All Angels podcast on YouTube. So definitely check out both, subscribe to both, help us out. So in this episode, we're going to kind of recap a little bit, talk a little bit about the Oakland A's. I did the preview with Martin Gallegos of the MLB.com. He is the beat writer. So we're kind of give our thoughts about that a little bit. Then obviously we got the Curator's Chronicles. It's back. And then we'll kind of just finish up. Angel news that's happened over the last, you know, couple days, last couple weeks. You know, we kind of had a retirement announcement, but not really a retirement announcement, but we'll get into that a little bit. So, I'm going to bring up obviously the Oakland A's, and I kind of talked about it with Martin, and now, you know, obviously first place in the West, 7-3 against the Astros and 6-4 against, the Angels. And Chris, I mean, you know, when it's Oakland, even when they don't seem to be doing great, they always seem to somehow play the Angels really aggressively and always seem to come out on the good end of it.
Yeah. I feel like you look all the way back to like 2002, 2001. It's always that Oakland team. They're sneaky. They like it's a quintessential Moneyball type of situation,
right?
And yeah, you can't sleep on Oaktown. They got a bunch of no-namers, and then every year these guys are just like crushing the ball, and they just bring up another crop the next year and the next year, and it's just like relentless. So it's pretty amazing, and you can't sleep on them ever. Like they're never rated up there with like the, you know, the big names. Even guys like Chris Davis didn't even get that national fanfare.
Right.
These are solid players. Marcus Semien, who they're without this year. But yeah, every year, even like the Astros kind of slept on them a little bit. And then we saw how that played out. So
do you think, you know, obviously a lot of people like to talk about the rivalry with the Dodgers and stuff like that, but do you think their Angels' biggest rivalry is with Oakland, or would you pick a different team?
I felt like it was the Rangers for a while, like 2007, 2008, 2009, all that stuff. Then we got Hamilton too, so that kind of happened. Yeah, we know how that worked out.
I'm about to say, who got the best end of that? That's probably not a great thing to bring up.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hamilton made all those remarks about Dallas Fort Worth being a football town, and
yeah,
so we kind of fueled the rivalry a little bit, and that both teams were contentious. But Oakland over the last like 20 years, yeah, I would say that's our rival. I would say in the 90s, mid 90s, it was the Mariners, but it shifted definitely, and then it became the Astros.
Well, sure. I think, what is it, the last couple of years, the Astros have been the rival with everybody, not just the Angels. I think that's probably more accurate than anything else.
Astros versus everybody. Like, it's rough out there for them.
You know, we were obviously with each other at Halo Haven for opening day last year, and Matt Olson finished that game with a walk-off.
Against my boy.
Hobie Milner, who is no longer on the team. That's where we found out that there was a Hobie Milner on the Angels roster right then and there.
I thought Hobie Milner was like a surf legend, or he played a lot of like frisbee
golf. Find him in Huntington Beach or something.
I'm like, what? Hobie Milner's a pitcher? Throwing like 65 mile an hour looping curveballs. But anyways, he actually righted the ship. So
he did for a while. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we talk all this smack about Hobie, but Hobie was all right.
I think that second and third month of the season, I forgot what we were talking about, and we kind of went back and looked at his stats from that, like kind of like from opening day on, and we're like, wow, he's like a top three guy out of that bullpen, which yeah. I mean, wasn't saying a lot with that bullpen they had last year, but still kind of where you expected him to be. He was like, oh, okay, well, he's not terrible. A big struggle that Oakland had this last year was Matt Olson. We kind of brought him up right there, but he struggled, but his power was there. That scares me as far as him not getting the ship righted and knowing the potential player that he is. If he does get it going this season, that Oakland offense that was kind of average to below average can really pick up in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then going back to like Martin, what he said about it, what was he,
He said, you know, Olson, it was more of one of those things where, and we saw a little bit with Upton, it was a thing where, because of the shortened season, it took him a little bit longer to get ready. And by the time he kind of got into that, you know, mid-season flow, the season's over.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys struggle so much at the beginning of the season. The summer camp was so short and quick that the older, and Olson's not even really that old. I look at it right now and he's 26, but going to be 27 this season, but still, you know, some players take a little bit different to kind of get warmed up, and he was one of the examples of it. And so 14 home runs, but batting under 200, it was literally one of those things where either the ball's going over the wall or he's getting it out. So as an Angel fan, I'm kind of like hoping that he doesn't get a turnaround, because they did well with the offense they did last year with very, like I said, average to below average. The thing that the A's kind of really depended on was their bullpen, and obviously Liam Hendricks has gone from that helps us tremendously. And I'm not sure, Martin was kind of saying that he felt Rosenthal can fit into that spot where Hendricks left off, but Hendricks had such a dominating season last year that I don't think Rosenthal can do that. I think he could be good. I think he'll be respectable as a closer. I just don't think he'll be the shutdown guy that Hendricks was last year. So that's gonna be something really interesting to see. Obviously, Mitch Moreland, one-year deal. He's the guy that can kind of fit here and there, DH, but he's going to have to kind of prove things going. And Chris Davis, the guy that always seemed to be horrible, but then play the Angels, crushes him. He doesn't leave the division, but at least he leaves Oakland, so maybe the change of scenery helps.
I am so happy Crush Davis is out of Oakland, man. That guy, it doesn't matter what it was. It was an Angel killer. He's one of those guys like Nelson Cruz. Always, when it came to the Angels, boom, has a series, like a four-game series, three home runs, whatever it may be. He gave his fit. So I'm glad to see him gone. He was like, if I had to say like who embodied the Oakland A's, like who was their guy, I thought it was Crush Davis for all those years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So I'm glad he's gone. Mitch Moreland, he's a journeyman. Seems like he's on a 1 year, $2.5 million contract, like almost every year now. So he's kind of on the twilight of his career, but he does bring that veteran expertise. It's kind of interesting to see Elvis Andrews on that. Geez, how many years was he in Texas? Like that dude, I think he was part of that Teixeira deal a long time ago. So to see him in like that green and gold, it's gonna be weird.
And that's another thing too, where, you know, Martin kind of talked about, he thinks that Oakland is just as good as last year. And I'm not 100% convinced of that. You lose a Marcus Semien and you fill it with a Elvis Andrews. I don't think that's a one for one trade. I think that's something where they lose something there, because obviously in the 2019 season, Semien was a top three MVP guy.
Yeah.
And I know last year wasn't necessarily a great year for him, or he wasn't at that level last year, but Elvis Andrews, it seemed to be slowly kind of going down in his production. I just don't think that is going to be a one for one trade. You lose Mike Minor, you lose, like we mentioned, Hendricks. That bullpen was such a an anchor for those guys last year. That I just don't know if that those numbers will translate into 162 games now that we're going to get a full season. I think a bullpen strong team benefits from a short season that we saw last year because they can go full go. You don't have to necessarily worry about resting guys because if they pitch their normal innings, then whatever, the season's over. And you kind of, I think, saw that in the playoffs because they weren't able to beat the Astros. The Astros was a better team, but you know, the bullpen necessarily didn't show up, but you know, I just don't know if that's going to translate into 162 game season. Where do you see Oakland as far as the season when it starts up?
I see them as a third place team.
Okay.
Obviously with our Angels in first place, because we're always hopeful at this point. I think we all think we have a first place World Series team. Right now,
we'll give our serious picks on opening day.
Okay.
Our pregame.
Honest opinion. I think they're a third place team. Astros second. Of course, our Halos in first. But Seattle's got to be picking up the rear. Seattle and Texas, they're going to be kind of right there. So,
one thing that is really interesting about this, and then we'll get to the Curators Chronicles, but when you think Oakland A's, and correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of think organization depth, like they have minor leaguers that can plug in and play and stuff like that. But always, at least in my head, I don't know if it's true or not, but I always think of them of having a really good farm system. And what kind of shocked me is that they don't really have that right now. So their depth is going to be kind of an issue. They're betting on some young arms, some arms coming back from injury. So that's going to be an issue too, where if they do get a one or two, you know, significant injuries here or there, they could be very easily that fourth place team or worse in the division. Do you always think of Oakland like I do, where they always have that kind of organizational depth that helps them when people go down?
They're, like thinking about it, just like what you said, we think about teams that have like a culture. And so guys will come, guys will go, but there's certain standards or certain a way in which we approach baseball. And Oakland's one of those teams. They're the complete opposite of the Yankees. So the Yankees have that. You go to the Yankees, you got to cut your hair. You got to, shave your face. Both of us, well, maybe especially you. I got the mustache.
You can keep the mustache. I think they allow mustache in New York.
Right? Yeah. Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball, they allowed that mustache. You? No way.
No,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like a Giambi when he
Well, you look at, what's his name? You look at Garrett Cole right now. He's all clean shaven, and yeah, when he was in Houston, he didn't have that.
Yeah, so if you look back some baseball history here back in the 70s when Charles O. Finley was the owner of the A's, he was kind of eccentric. He actually paid guys to wear, to actually like don the facial hair. So like the mutton chops and stuff, like you get some extra money thrown at you right now.
I wish the work would do now. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you'd be getting an extra like $1,000 for that, what you got going on right now, little patches, but you'd be all right. I heard that patches comment.
Yeah, I'm still trying to grow it out to be Brandon and it's not going well. The funny part about that too, his mom actually reached out to me and was like, you know what, you're not helping my son at all.
I saw that.
Shave that. I was like, I'm just telling you from experience, you know, when you have it, use it.
And you got his mom on him.
Yeah, exactly.
So going back to like the culture, like the A's culture has always been that. It's always been the white cleats. That's where it goes.
That looks good.
And that's always part of it. So it doesn't matter if Mark McGwire comes, he goes, Jose Canseco, Walt Weiss, all those dudes that we remember, all those big names. It's always that like kind of grittiness of the athlete, like, and these guys that are no names and they rise to stardom a little bit. Right. And they're always known for not like really putting out that big contract. Like letting guys walk, like McGwire, letting him go to St. Louis, and that money ball was there almost before like Billy Bean, and now Billy Bean's gone. So, but is that going to continue? I don't know. But they do have that depth. They're always producing these guys, and you're like, where are they getting these like? And it's always like that first base guy. Like, I feel like they got like 20 dudes over there, like Mark Canna.
Like, yeah, he was there for a while.
Where'd that guy go?
Yeah.
Is he still on the team? I don't know, but it's like another depth. And then you have, you're talking about like Olsen. It's just like these power hitters at first. It's insane. Like a Giambi, McGuire. So yeah, it's weird. They've got something built within the way they draft, the way they the farm system operates. So
yeah, one thing too, and obviously it's not happening this year, but it's happening down the road and something to kind of keep a lookout for is that Matt Olson and Matt Chapman, the corner infield guys, they're probably the two faces of the franchise right there. I don't know if one's over the other, but they're both going to be free agents in the same year. And I think that's going to be 2023 or 2024. So there's still some time, but it's going to be interesting to see what Oakland does. Do they extend one of them? Do they flip the other one to help them out? Because that's, like you mentioned, it's kind of been their thing where they can flip guys or they just won't re-sign them. You saw that with Marcus Semien. They didn't re-sign him after having a really great year. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do going forward, especially with those corner infield guys. But Oakland A's throwbacks, one of the best in the business, you think?
Say it again.
Oakland A's, their throwback uniforms. Do you think they're one of the best? The
green. Yeah. And, oh God, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think it's what Kelly. I think they call it Kelly Green or something like that.
Yeah, let me tell you, there's no more home field advantage in baseball than that Oakland Coliseum.
Oh yeah, you've been there. You know exactly what it is.
I had a kid, or I had somebody throw a helmet nacho on my face. Got a little bit on my jersey, you know, no big deal, but. As mad as I was, I respected it. our fans are over here golf clapping, doing some selfies over on Instagram, TikTok videos.
Orange County.
We were leaving the field, and this little kid said some not so nice words to me. He was like 8 years old, and he
like, I didn't know you knew those words.
Yeah, I threw an F word at me, and I'm like, whoa. But yeah, with all the drums, the different banners.
I love the drums. I will give them that. Like, I love the
as
drums.
As much as it's annoying, that stuff works. And yeah, those fans are passionate, and I do respect that. They're annoying as hell, but there's something up there. It's this weird culture of Oakland baseball, and they're looking to move out of that town, which is going to be interesting.
I hope they stay in Oakland just because the Raiders are gone, the Warriors are gone. Like, the last thing Oakland has is the A's, and just being kind of impartial down the line, like, I kind of hope they stay in Oakland because I think that city does deserve a professional team, some sort. And the A's, honestly, if you look at the past, you know, before Golden State, you know, with the Raiders, you know, the A's were kind of the top team in that area.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's going to wrap up our little talk about the Oakland A's. The next team that I'm going to try to get going is the Astros. We got a couple feelers out, and hopefully by early next week, we will have a preview of the Houston Astros. So we're going to take a quick break real quick. And then when we come back, we are going to have a long awaited return of the Curators Chronicles. So hold on, and we'll be right back after this.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And just around the corner, we have MLB baseball. BetOnline covers everything from award shows, TV shows, and even reality TV. Real-time updates, odds, and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. This is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, eBay Sneakers. From rare deadstock to the latest releases, you can find the exact sneaker you are looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go if you want to cop that pair that you've been eyeing. And with eBay's guarantee, a team of independent professional authenticators perform a rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they are sent to you, so you can shop confidently knowing your pair is the real deal. And for you sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. With the other sites charging as much as 25%, you're going to have a ton of extra cash left for, guess what? More sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today. Again, that's ebay.com/sneakers today.
Let's go!
All right. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Curator's Chronicles, everyone's favorite segment. It doesn't matter if it's baseball history, whatever it is. I know you're tuning in just for this. So this edition of the Curator's Chronicles brings up something I actually just received in the mail today. So this is never before seen. One thing that I've kind of started collecting was old correspondence letters from Angels officials. So we're talking general managers, owner, scouting director, just getting those old letters that they would send What we would send today as an email, they actually had to send those via the postal service back in the day, believe that or not, kids. But
yeah,
what's this that? Letter, yeah, what, huh? So this letter was sent by, and I think Daniel has it up on the screen. This letter was sent by scouting director and farm director at that time, Roland Hammond. And he's actually still in the baseball business. This guy's still alive. He ended up going on to be a general manager of a few different teams, I think most notably the White Sox. But this letter is kind of cool because not only does it have that old LA Angels letterhead, but dated in 1965. So we're on the cusp of the Angels changing the name from LA Angels to California.
The first time.
Yeah, right. So this is right. This is right before that move to Anaheim. And so he's writing a letter basically to a guy that works over at Baseball Statistics. So if I had to say what Baseball Statistics is, it's just a big publication where kind of like almost like the beginning of like Sabermetrics in some way. But he's telling them, you know, I need you to make these changes, but most notably, change our logo, change our branding. All that was part of that directive. So it's kind of interesting. And then there's like a follow-up page on here where the guy writes back and he's saying, okay, I'll make those changes and stuff. So correspondence letters have kind of been on my interest, and there's they'll pop up every once in a while. I got that Gene Autry that one time, so that was cool. And then there's a bunch of fan letters back and forth to the organization, but pretty cool stuff. And going with that, looking at that old LA logo. So now we're celebrating the 60th anniversary, right? And yep. So the Angels have actually finally put that logo out. It was out there because the season ticket holders actually got like an email with that new 60th logo. So like, what do you think about that new 60th?
I like the look of it, you know, the years. The one thing I'm worried about, but I remember when they had the 50th, they talked, but it took them a while to kind of put that on hats to put out to the public. I remember on that 50th year, I was waiting for it to come out, and then literally I couldn't pick it up until like the end of the year, or the last like month, a month and a half. So I am hoping as a hat collector, I try to collect as many different hats as I can, especially with the patches and stuff like that, that it comes out. You know, I looked it up right away to see if it was on MLB.shop or whatever, but not there yet. I like it. I always kind of like these ceremonial mm-hmm. patches and stuff like that. It's going to be a little bit different this year because I'm not sure what they're going to do because of the lack of fans and the stands, even if they are able to go in at a certain point.
You remember
the amount of people is going to be, you know,
you remember the 50th, right? They had an actual like player throughout Angels history out like in center field signing every home game, which is pretty awesome. So mad that I didn't take advantage of that, man. I didn't go out there one time. I don't know what the heck I was thinking, but it's going to be weird with the 60th. Like, how much can they like put into that?
Yeah,
but I always like those anniversary logos. I'm pretty fond of them. I like the 50th a lot. I don't know about the 60th, man.
Really?
Like, yeah, I feel like it's a rehash of the 50th a little bit.
But let's be honest, so the Angels aren't necessarily known for being original. I mean, you look at a lot of their their hats, and especially their spring training hat, where it's like
spring training hat. Come on,
especially where it's like literally the same thing as last year, but just a different patch on the back.
It had the sunglasses on the back.
But I was gonna say that's the only thing different. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that front you sent that to me. I'm like,
it's the same one as last year. Yeah,
dude. We've talked about that a few times too.
Oh yeah, we definitely have. And
come on, man. Like all these other teams are coming up with like the shape of the state. Put the bear on the front, and then we roll out that. Like, come on. But my favorite, like, anniversary logo, it brings me back to my childhood. It was the 35th.
Okay.
And they're not even doing, like, the half marker anymore. Like, they didn't do, like, a 55th or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there's going straight.
There's that TA. the CAA, they did a 55th, and it was, I had my birthday party at the stadium that year. So they had a turn back the clock night. Hot dogs were 10 cents. Drinks were like 50 cents. People were throwing food like no other at each other. So,
yeah.
Never forget that one.
Never forget. That's a good good point as far as never forgetting that one. But the 60th, I mean, I don't mind. Again, I don't mind it. You know, I know some people probably aren't thrilled with it or like, I guess, well, you aren't. But, yeah, to me, it's not terrible. Like I said, hopefully they put it out on some stuff soon to get, you know, the merch part of it going. But other than that, you know, I don't mind it. I really don't. So we'll kind of see what they do with that. But yeah, I'm a sucker for these kind of things. Like I'm straight up. Like I'll buy it. I'll buy the hat as soon as they put the patch on it. That's without a doubt.
Dude, I'm not a hat collector because I wear them so much and I sweat profusely.
Well, see, that's the thing though. I got like three or four hats. I have three or four hats that are in my rotation as far as like, well, if I go play golf or I am walking outside, like say we're at a Disneyland or whatever, when you could do that, I'll wear where I don't mind if it gets sweat, but everything else is kind of like, okay, well, I got to kind of wear this only on certain occasions. So yeah, I have like two or three where it's like in a rotation where I don't necessarily mind it getting all jacked up, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to wear one of my nice ones out and stuff like that.
Yeah. Here's a sad story for you. So, you know, back in the day, Angels used to have yard sales. Remember that?
Oh yeah. Usually, yeah, so I remember before it was like their moving day. Yeah. And then now it was like at the Cinco de Mayo thing for a little bit.
Yeah. So they did that. They combined them. They had a standalone. But I'm going through all this stuff, right? Like a little honey badger. Like, man, overload. Like, what do I do? I could fill a bag for $10. But yeah, there's this hat, and they just throw stuff out there. They're like, I don't care. They're not interested in getting the most, you know, all that money. But I come across a hat. It had a 14 written underneath the bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I remember that story.
Yeah, it was a throwback LA hat. So when they did a turn back the clock night, and it was Socia's hat, and I pick it up for like $20. So I'm an idiot. Instead of just putting it up on a shelf, I wear it. And so I get massive sweat marks all over this thing. So yeah, I appreciate your collection of hats, but I'm down to wear them. Like I'll be wearing a hat, then I'll start mowing the lawn, and then I won't take it off, and it's done with. So
yeah, see, I'm the kind where it's like I have three hats that I go out with, you know, where I don't mind getting dirty. Everything else is like in one of those long, it's not Tupperware because it's not food, but one of these long Rubbermaid containers. And I just throw them in there and close it up and throw it underneath the bed and pull one out when I need one.
Man, I think about my life and I'm like, man, if I had all that money that I spent on hats, I'd be a millionaire.
I'm not a millionaire, but I probably would have a couple more hundred bucks for sure.
Yeah, I have like 10 grand for sure, man.
Oh shoot!
No, I'm not even joking. I know it's sad.
I'm not there yet, but
dude, you're talking. Hey, those new eras are like $40 now.
Yeah, and the funny part is too, like the ones I get the most, or I'm kind of guaranteed to get every year, no matter what, are the All Star and the Spring Training.
And those are like over $40.
So obviously, last year without the All Star game, I didn't get one there. Spring Training is kind of the same, but I kind of want to keep the tradition of like the seventh one or sixth one in a row. But yeah, other than that, I kind of look for like, especially like the one I'm wearing now with the kind of the pillbox,
man.
Pillbox hat, great. Like stuff like that, I'll grab. But for the most part, I just wait for like one of those like on field commemorative kind of hats to come out. And I know they came out with their St. Patrick's Day hat, the green hat that they're going to wear on St. Patrick's Day at spring training. I don't know if I'll get that one, but you know, I try to keep it as much with the red kind of, you know, at least theme as much as possible. So. That's been another edition of the Curator's Chronicles.
Let's go! Batter up! We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game. For a ball game too.
And now, obviously, we kind of mentioned it before we're going to talk a little Angels baseball and stuff that's happened over the last, you know, couple weeks since we've been here. If you're watching on our YouTube or on our Facebook, go ahead. And if you have a question, go ahead and leave it in the comments and we'll do our best. We'll do our best to answer it. So one of the first things I want to mention is with the start of spring training, the start of players reporting, you had position players report earlier this week. And with that, this post came out a little bit earlier around that time from Albert Pujols' wife, saying that today is the last day or today's the first day of the season of one of the most remarkable careers in sports. So in a way, I'm sure people have seen it. In a way, it kind of did sound like she was announcing his retirement. When that came out, and I think we kind of text back and forth about it, did you think it was actually legit that she was announcing that retirement?
Yeah, for sure. I meant, like, I don't know what the point otherwise. But then the biggest thing for me is, like, do we think Albert was going to play longer? Or am I, like, missing something? Like, contract's over. He's 50 years old. Like, no, he had a great career. Don't get me wrong. But I just didn't think, like, he was going to pursue – like a one-year deal with the Angels or like with another team. I just never thought that was an option. So, and especially for his wife to get ahead of it. I know there's a lot of banter, like.
Yeah. And to be fair, she did go back and kind of edit it a little bit to say, like, she mentioned it as like the end of the contract and end of the, you know, stuff like that. And she kind of went back and was like, oh, I'm just trying to send off my husband to spring training, you know, on a good vibe, which, okay, I get it, but it's like, I kind of feel like when you type that out, you kind of have to know what kind of what you're saying, you know, like.
Yeah, man, like we're on social media like all the time, right? So you got to know, like, words matter.
Well, the thing is, though, too, she is too. Albert doesn't have a huge presence on Instagram or Twitter, but she does. So it's like, even more so to be like, hey, you do know how this sounds. Like, even if it wasn't what she thought or what she wanted to put out there, like, you kind of like, this sounds like you're saying thank you for a whole career, which, you know, like you said, it's a great career. I don't think Angel fans give Albert enough credit for what his career was, especially early in the St. Louis days, because of the lack of production the last, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. But I guess my question is, did you think he was going to play beyond this year? Is that like a surprise? Is that like stop the presses kind of moment? Like, for me, it's not.
I mean, I kind of thought.
Because, you know.
I kind of thought realistically he would want to. So I didn't think he would announce his retirement. I think that's what the thing is. Do I think someone will sign him? No. But do I think he thinks that? No. Also, I think he would go into it and say, yeah, I can get another year or 2 years here or there. Maybe go back to St. Louis if the DH comes over there. Like, I can see that in his head thinking that. You know, in reality, like, I don't see, you're right, I don't see another team picking him up, but I also see him thinking like, oh yeah, I can sign with another team, or oh yeah, I can, you know, go over here. So that's why the announcement wouldn't happen. It would be kind of one of those things where it kind of happens this time next year when he's not picked up by a team, or he's not, you know, I cannot see Albert doing what a lot of people are doing right now and taking like minor league deals. Like, I cannot see that at all. Like, I see him announcing his retirement way before then, but I can see a point where it's like in his head, he's thinking like, oh yeah, I'll get a deal somewhere else.
Yeah. And then the extra component to all this is, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but when he signed that, you know, what was it? 10-year contract.
Yeah.
200 and something, like 20 million, 240 or something. Chump change now. but part of the contract was that he would stay on as an Angels, like, advisor, kind of like a Bobby Grich role right now.
Appearances, PR, sign, you know, autograph, shake hands, kiss babies, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sign, you know. Yeah. You're right here, right?
Right,
Yeah, but, like, that was part of it. So, like, I think he's kind of, like, under contract in some sense. And yeah, as far as legacy is concerned, like, why are you going to leave and go with, like, a one-year contract to, like, Tampa Bay or something, right? It makes no sense. You got your money. You're well off. So it wasn't, like, I don't know. I never expected to play beyond this year. But I do see him signing like a one-day retirement in San
Right, Florida. That's going to be interesting.
I see that for sure, man. He should. I wouldn't be offended as an Angels fan if he did.
Right.
That's where, like you said, he put up ridiculous numbers.
Right.
I sent you that text that morning. Yeah. I was like, goodness gracious.
And there it is. I'll pull it up right now. And again, if you're listening to on the podcast, you can look it up on our YouTube page. But they compare Mike Trout his first 9 years to Albert's first 10 years. And granted, there's like a year and a half missing because, you know, the abbreviated year last year and then just not having that 10th overall year. But some of these numbers aren't even close. Like you're talking about between 2001 and 2011, Albert had 445 home runs. Right now, Trout's sitting at 302. So that's a world apart.
Hey, one of the biggest things about Albert is the average, man.
Yeah.
Before he came to, you know, Anaheim, like 328, he was like a 330, like, you know, average. Oh, yeah. And then, like, it just kept on dropping and kept on dropping. But look at that, man. Insane. Look at the war. Not even close. So
right.
We talk about Trout, like putting up numbers we haven't seen since Mickey Mantle. Now we saw some numbers. Albert Pujols is putting them up. And then that World Series he was in with David Freese, and like that was so iconic. Like Albert put up like that ball that's kind of trending. Like, yeah. Oh, we found his ball
on the moon,
like on Mars or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, he was an insane type of player. And even though he was drafted really late. Like,
oh yeah, he was like 20.
Yeah, like 20 something round.
6 or 27, something around there, yeah.
Yeah, so.
But no, that's a great point that you make as far as, you know, look at him. He was, you know, better than Trout when, you know, both have 3 MVPs at that point. But I hope people, even if it is his last year, it's definitely going to be his last year with the Angels. I hope people understand the guy, the player he was in his prime. I mean, there's whenever he does retire, if it's at the end of this year, next year, or whenever, I mean, he's that first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, do you see him going in? And it's only happened, I think, what, once or twice unanimously?
Oh, yeah, he's unanimous.
Yeah, I agree completely, too.
There's no way, like, you can vote against that. I mean, home run wise, obviously. Just the impact he had in the game, I meant. And then, like, I look at his time with the Angels, right? We wish that he would produce a little bit more. It took him, like, almost like 2 months to hit his first home run. I don't know if you remember that. It was like,
yeah, it took a while.
When is he going to freaking crush his first home run? And he finally did. But I would say, like, his legacy is we signed him for all those milestones, right?
Yeah.
So he had his 500th, his 600th, which I almost caught.
I'm about to say, I remember that story.
Man, dude, that would have changed my life. I would have ran out of that stadium with that ball for sure. But yeah, we signed him for the milestones, and that was part of it. We signed him for that Fox Sports deal, like you said. We signed him for jersey sales, and then I think his biggest impact is kind of helping Mike Trout.
Right, like
I think at the end of the day, Mike Trout is a better ball player because of the veteran leadership and the influence that Albert Pujols had on him. And if you take that away, I don't know. It's tough because he had like Torrey. Torrey was huge, but then when Torrey left, it was Albert, and Albert taught him the way of like night signing autographs, things like that. No, I'm joking aside. No, he was very you know, he taught him the way how to approach the game. He kind of fathered him in there. So I think that's Albert's actually biggest impact within the organization.
Yeah, and I heard something on the radio, and it's kind of leads to my next topic, the Fernando Tatis signing. But you know, Fernando Tatis signed for 14 years. A lot of people are saying, you know, what's that going to look like at the end of it? I think when you sign these big extensions, you know, even Trout, you know, for a certain point, like the first like 2 or 3 years, you're hoping the player performs over what you pay him. Like he overperforms the contract. The middle years, you kind of hope he breaks even, because you know, at the end of those contract, you know, last two or three years, he's definitely going to be overpaid for what he does. And that's just kind of the way the deal works. I mean, does kind of depend, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. I think obviously that's a lot had to do with Albert. It's unfortunate that they weren't able to kind of put a serious playoff run, not only with Trout, but I think it would have been really great too, to see Pujols in a serious playoff run with the Angels at some point.
Yeah. You kind of like wonder about those, like baseball's notorious for the backloaded contracts, right?
Right.
So kind of like you think about like mortgages, were like a 30-year fixed or whatever, but and then like, oh, let's do a reverse mortgage. We backloaded like that Pujols contract. So in the years that are not as productive, we're paying them like upwards of like 30 million, 35 million bucks
last year. Yeah.
But now I feel like the trend is kind of moving. I heard a lot about like in the NBA, like front loading the contract, because now you're paying for like those productive years, you're getting the most out of them. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to the back years, now you're saving some cap space. And then, so we can see something a little bit better there. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the backloaded contracts, I think, and obviously I believe when it comes to the luxury tax, it doesn't matter if it's front loaded or backloaded. They just, the annual, the AAV is what goes towards the tax. So it doesn't matter if it's front loaded, backloaded, it's whatever the average is.
Yeah.
The payroll is, you know, where it depends on where it's front loaded or backloaded. But I think a lot of people figure let's backload it. And it's like a lot of people do. Hey, we'll worry about that in, you know, 5-6 years. Let's not worry about it now.
Just swipe that credit card, man.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
No, but yeah. Would you like if your employer came up to you and said, hey, Daniel, I want to give you a 14-year contract guaranteed? Goodness gracious, man.
Yes. So
I suck. You fire me. I still get that money.
So let's talk about that real quick, because I kind of – obviously that was like kind of the big news this last couple of weeks, is that Fernando Tatis signs for a $340 million contract over 14 years. The AAV is only like $24 million. So when you break it down like that, I don't feel like – do you feel like they overpaid? Do you feel like they got what they – you know, equal value? Like how do you feel about that? When you see those numbers, man, again, that's $340 million over 14 years.
I don't even know. I don't know what I'm doing next week. This guy, they signed up for 14 years, right? And so far, like if you look at that contract, $24 million, think about the rate of inflation. Mm-hmm. So 14 years from now, goodness, what decade are we in? We're like 2035 or something, right? So 2035, you know, $24 million a year, that's probably looking like a pretty good deal if he continues to perform. So far he's performed for sure.
Yeah, and he's like what, 22 know, years old. So it's not like young. He's not like these 37, 38 year old guys that signed, like Trout, I think signed his extension at what, 36? I believe is when he signed his, or 26, sorry. 26.
Whoa,
yeah, 26.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. He's not Albert. We know how old he is. but you know, he's like 22 years old. So obviously, when he, I think the contract's up, he is at 36, Fernando. I think that's why that was on my mind. But, you know, obviously it's not like a normal extension like they did with Trout, they did with Harper, they did with these other guys that when the contract's over, they're going to be like near their 40. They're going to be like 41 or something like that.
Yeah, I meant it's just it's crazy to commit to someone like that. But, and, you know, the crazier thing is, you know who – you know who they traded for to get?
Oh, big game James Shields.
James Shields, man.
James, big Remember game James Shields.
Hey, big game James was like, he was all right back in the Royals, you know, era.
And then Chicago got him, or they,
Yeah, that's who they,
that's who they traded for.
For Chicago, man. Yeah. Like, big game James. Yeah. So just to have him on their team, he's got that swag. They're trying to bill him as like the new Mike
Trout kind of deal. What I was going to ask you too, and you hear this a lot because Fernando Tatis, even before the contract got inked, he's the new cover boy for the MLB The Show this year, 21. Do you think he's the face of MLB?
No. Of course.
No, who do you think it is?
It's Mike Trout, homie.
You think so?
Of course.
The face, I mean, I'm saying the face. I'm not saying the best player, because obviously that is Mike Trout, but I'm saying the face, the guy that the commercial, like, what's Trump
saying? Like, do you think San Diego's a bigger market than Los Angeles?
I don't think it's a bigger market, but I do think that he's embracing Fernando Tatis. He's embracing the look at me, you know, obviously with the bat flips, his hair, the kind of like showy kind of play to draw eyes. I think if you, I think if you ask people who Mike Trout is, or not even who Mike Trout is, because they might know by name, but if you ask the average person, not necessarily a baseball fanatic or anything like that, if you ask, here's a lineup, which one's Mike Trout? I do not think the average person who's not a baseball fan will know who that is. Fernando really? Tatis? Oh yeah, I don't think so. I think that's because that's who Trout is. He doesn't try to go out and seek the limelight. He doesn't bat flip. He doesn't do commercials. I mean, like, what? He's been in one commercial, and that was that Body Armor when he was like doing the little dancing in the disco. Know,
put it on the poll.
I mean, the Angels fans are kind of skew a little bit, so I don't know how impartial it's going to be. Yeah. But
no way. I disagree.
I think he is the face of MLB because he's out there more. He's just out there in the public more than Mike Trout ever has been. Because it's Trout's prerogative. Like, he can do whatever he wants. If he doesn't want to do a commercial, he doesn't want to do a commercial. But it just seems like Tatis is out there for so many more eyes to see than Trout ever really was or is, for that matter. So I think that's kind of what it is. So some more, yes, my wife is right. Let's put it on the board.
Dude, we got somebody on Cindy Tomlinson.
Wow. Yeah, we got a couple. We got
people coming, people.
Yeah, there we go. We got Randy Gutierrez that said, what up, yeah, fellas, Randy earlier.
Gutierrez, so. What's up, man? We miss you. We miss seeing you in the parking lot. Just those tailgates with Randy and Myra.
Dude, and that's probably the one thing I miss the most. So we've gotten this question a lot about spring training. We are not going this year. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad. I don't know how else to say it. I think I've gone at least 8 years in a row. Before I knew you, while I've known you, we've gone a few times. We've probably gone at least 5 years.
Yeah, I think the only year that me and my wife missed together was the year that we got married, just because of the wedding.
I told you could have, like, you know, just got in the back of the car and slept on the floor and all that.
I know she's listening, but like, she needs like a hotel room at least with a nice bed. You know,
you need like a little Marriott little deal. You know,
cool. What was that? That very first year we went, and me and my wife were at one place, and you were at another place, and it was like so like run down. It was like,
dude, we were at the Days Inn. That shit was whack. You gotta bleep that out. Yeah, that place was terrible. Yeah, you guys were at that nice place, and then we moved over. I think I stayed with you and Courtney
at another hotel. Really
nice little timeshare kind of deal.
Yeah, hotel.
That was awesome. And then we stayed at some Airbnb.
Yeah,
last year. That was year before it was cool. Last year was something.
Was a story. And that's, we'll keep that between us, because that was
that's a podcast in itself.
Yeah.
That's like a true crime podcast.
There
you go. Yeah, exactly. Emojis.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know what to say about that. But yeah, I am sad. But part of me is like, I don't even know if I care, because spring training is all about the access. Access to players,
that's exactly why.
Autographs. Yeah. Especially for us in the media, I call us media now.
Oh, shit.
We're big time right now. Like, to go down there and not to be able to do an interview, like to go up to Brandon Marsh and be like, hey, you want to get a sound bite? We can't do that anymore. Those days are done. And we felt
the days aren't done. I mean, just for this year, I think next year, I think it's going to be back to normal.
We're going to see. I don't know, man. I don't see.
You don't think by 2022, everything's going to be back to normal as far as going down to the bottom fields? Maybe. People might be a little more cautious about it, but I think 2022 you will see that stuff back open again. I mean, you're already letting people in the stands.
Yeah, but look at 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. 9/11, before 9/11, I don't know if you remember that because you're a little younger than I am. But like, you used to go
freshman in high school.
You used to walk up to the terminal like at an airport, and you used to walk and watch your family members take off on that plane. After that, done. I feel like some of these restrictions will like linger for years. Our access at the 66ers, like being the dugout, I just don't see that.
Well, not this year, but maybe next year. I do just because of the fact that, especially with spring training, if you take away that access sooner or later, people aren't going to go, or at least not to the volume that they are now.
$90 for a spring training.
Well, I think this year is different. This year is different because you're talking about the Dodgers because they won a World Series. Okay. And to tell you the truth, their tickets were expensive already before all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Now you're limiting tickets to like 15% capacity. So obviously, I mean, you take basic economics, the supply is down, demand is high. So yeah, you can jack up the prices. I think this year is kind of a blip. Like, yeah, you'll get those scalpers that always want to try to get ahead of the game, which I understand. But I think just with the lack of tickets available is going to make it a hell of a lot more easier to jack up the prices. But I honestly think spring training next year will be maybe not exactly how it was before, but pretty damn close. I think, yeah. You know, they open up practice back up next year. I mean, you know, especially if this season goes through without a major kind of hitch, I don't see why not.
Yeah, and it's sad because spring training is, I think, I speak for all of us. That's the time we look forward to, man.
Oh, dude, I love spring training.
It's chill. You get out. It's like a different environment, different stadiums. It's just very, like, just cruising around. Like, you feel like an adventurer. And for it to be gone, I don't know. And then we also are personally dealing with other stuff. So,
yeah, I mean.
That adds to it, so.
Yeah, so. You know, I think spring training is going to be kind of, you know, I love baseball, but it's almost, I tell my wife all the time, like, I'm getting that itch. Like, let's just go. Screw it. Let's just go. But then you look at the prices for hotels and stuff like, and I can't go see the players practice and the minor league guys. Like, you want to be able to go see, like you mentioned, Brandon. You want to be able to go see Joe. You want to be able to call the guys over that you know, Chris Rodriguez, guys that we know personally, but you're not able to do that right now. So, hopefully next year, I'm really having my fingers crossed for next year, we can get out there again and do spring training proper. Because, I mean, and you know it, because you're like that during a regular baseball game. We like going out there and talking with fans and chatting with them, and you can't do that right now.
No.
I remember last year we went. It was like a Saturday game. Like, I don't remember paying for a beer, but I remember being really jacked up. And that was fun. So some more news that's going on with spring training. Shohei Ohtani had a bullpen session earlier, and he was like topping out at 90. And now that he is kind of getting more and more back into shape, he is topping out at 97 miles per hour. Or at least that's what he said. So that's what he said. So here's some footage of it from Fox Sports West Twitter. You know, how do you feel about Ohtani coming back on the mound? Are you encouraged? Are you skeptical? How do you feel about going into the season with Ohtani on the mound?
Yeah, like, you just can't count on this guy. Like, and then I saw, like, a report. I don't know what source it was on. Don't quote me on anything. but it said, like, the top pitching staffs in, like, the AL. Mm-hmm. And they had the Angels, like, number 3 or 4 without Ohtani listed. So he's like the game changer. He's like the X factor, right?
Oh, he's definitely the X factor. Yeah.
So like, but I can't count on him. Like, I don't like going to the season going like, oh, we got Ohtani. He's on the front end. But if he contributes, goodness gracious, man. That's like a little extra, you know.
A little bump.
Little on top of, you know, like that's like the cherry on top. And like, do I think like he increased 7 miles per hour on his fastball within like 2 days?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Because I don't think,
I don't know, man.
No, only because I don't think in that first bullpen session, I don't think he was going full go. I don't think he was going full go.
True.
I mean, that first bullpen session, the beginning of spring, there is absolutely zero reason to go full go. There's no reason.
Sure. Yeah, you don't want to burn yourself out.
Right. So in this bullpen session, they talked about he topped out at 97, but he was more consistently around like 94, 95, which is great for him. It's the mental part, and he kind of talked about it. He didn't feel comfortable last year, and that's kind of what led to his issues, not only in the on the mound, but getting shut down on the mound, but in the batter's box too, because, you know, he had a great rookie year. I mean, he won rookie of the year, and then last year was just, I mean, to be frank, it was a kind of an absolute dud. You know, it was. Are you still with the whole two-way, or would you rather see him?
Nah, I'm with the one-way.
Which way would you rather see him then? Pitching or?
I think I'd rather see him, like, hitting. I'd rather see him in that, like, playing first base, outfield, DH kind of deal.
I just think he would be able to impact a game so much more, especially with this team, pitching. Just because, you know, MLB.com, or not MLB.com, but MLB Network, or maybe it was MLB, whatever, they're all the same. They came out with the top 100 players, and obviously you have Rendon and Trout in the top 10 each, you know.
Yeah.
Trout was one. I think Rendon was 9 or 8. So obviously you figured the offense is going to be there. What you need, obviously, is pitching. And that's kind of been the whole thing with the Angels has been pitching. So I think you can help out there more. I kind of mentioned on a podcast a couple episodes ago, the 2-year contract they got to avoid arbitration, I think that's his tryout. I think if he can't get it done in these 2 years where it's respectable, I think that's when you start making you make the switch to one or the other.
Yeah, for sure. And we got him. Man, that first initial contract was ridiculous.
Well, he's on his minor league deal.
Yeah, I mean, we had to pay like the whatever fee it was,
the posting fee. But that's not even to him. That's to the team that he
got. His other deal was stupid, right? But then we got him like what, a little over $4 million a year.
Right, like now, I think that's what the deal is. The
arbitration deal was something like that. So
right, but like his first couple of years, he was making almost league minimum.
Yeah,
you know, that's like any other, you know, minor leaguer was. He wasn't like he was breaking the bank. He wasn't costing the Angels, you know, a huge headache with payroll and stuff like that. He was literally making what you know, when Joe Adell comes up, that's what he was making, the same thing.
Yeah,
and he got rookie of the year.
So, yeah, so then if he produces at all, we're paying him $4 million a year. But yeah, you're right. This is a tryout for that long, you know, that extension. Or
oh, Chris just dropped out. I don't know what happened, but we'll wait for him to come back. But yeah, you know, Ohtani, I think he's fine. I think he'll be perfectly fine for what it is, and that is, yeah, he got 8.5 over 2 years, so just over four point one five for the contract. So something else that we're going to talk about, and again, Chris kind of just dropped off, so we'll just keep it on going. Angels did have a little movement today. They acquired Jake Mayfield from the Braves in a exchange for cash consideration to make room for Jake. Robel Garcia was designated for assignment. I think it was just leaving space or adding depth. I don't know if he makes the team. I don't necessarily think he will. I don't think he will start the season with the Angels. I think he's one of those guys that will just add depth to the team. So that's something to look out for. That's kind of the most recent news. Other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot of news, but there are starting again spring training games, I believe, this Sunday, the 28th or so. So that's something to really look forward to. I'm really looking forward to getting some games, getting some guys out there to play. And you know, if there's a great play to be made, if there's all that stuff, we will obviously bring it here on the All Angels podcast. We'll have, you know, if we're on YouTube, we'll try to bring the actual highlight and we'll talk about it going forward. But you know, the spring training games just around the corner. It's super exciting. You know, talking about spring training, and we talked about it with Chris a little bit. If you have a spring training story, or you guys just want to kind of get out there and talk about spring training, make sure you email us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Allangelspodcast@gmail.com. I'm really interested to hear about your guys' spring training stories. Either if it's a great time with the friends, or maybe just what you like about it. That's always one of my favorite things to do when we go out there, and we've done it the last couple of times as far as talking to people and ask them why they come to spring training. That's always one of my favorite things to do. So we'll be back in the early next week to preview the Astros, fingers crossed, But definitely you want to check out our Instagram feed, our Twitter feed, for those kind of updates, because we'll be posting them there when they happen. Halo_Haven. Check it out. And then, too, I just want to give another quick shout out to the guys over at the Sunday League podcast, doing the podcast or doing the fantasy baseball with them this season. Definitely check them out. Again, that is Sunday League podcast. Check it out. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the All Angels podcast. We will be back again next week. We're trying to keep on doing two per week. But you're going to want to listen to or subscribe. Sorry. You're going to want to subscribe to our Facebook and our YouTube and our Twitter, because in the weeks to come, for people that are new, we are going to do a showing, a kind of walkthrough of Halo Haven. If you follow us on Halo Haven on Instagram, you kind of saw the little outside view of it. But we're going to put one out there on our YouTube and all the other stuff to kind of show you fans our version of a man cave, Chris's version of a man cave. He is, like he kind of mentioned, he collects a lot of stuff. So we're going to do a show there probably in a couple of weeks. But that one's going to be obviously exclusively kind of a visual thing. So it's probably not going to be on the podcast. So you want to get to those other sites, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and subscribe there so you can see it. And we might even think about doing just a YouTube exclusive, so you have to subscribe to our YouTube page to see it. Maybe we'll even get a tour of the bus. That's a piece of Angel fandom that we have not explored nearly as much as we normally do. So look out for that. Look out for the previews, all that stuff. So I'm Daniel Garcia. For Chris the Curator Johnson, wherever he is right now, he dropped off the face of the earth, it seems like. But we'll be back, and you listen to another edition of the All Angels podcast.